Mornings that matter. It's Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN and WFIN.com.
Road conditions being what they are this morning, you do want to use caution out there. Slow down a little bit. Take it easy. Don't get in a rush. You don't want to end up in the ditch or in the back of somebody else's vehicle. With that in mind, speaking of traffic accidents and all of that, we were talking the other day about a few days ago about traumatic brain injury, and I think this TBI Awareness Month, I think in the month of March it is. Anyway, we were talking about, and I stumbled upon this story, and I thought, this is very interesting. Would you consider this to be sensible protection to prevent brain injury in kids, or is this a little over the top? One personal injury lawyer says that kids should wear helmets while they're riding in the car. Riding in the car. I don't know about it, but we'll learn more about it here in just a moment, standing by here, Howard Spiva, to talk to us about that. And also, let me tell you, coming up later on this hour, Gliding Stars of Findlay going country for their annual adaptive ice show. So we'll get all of the details on that. And we need to congratulate. We're also going to get another qualifier for our little March Madness giveaway here this morning. All of the tickets for the entire boys state high school basketball tournament in Columbus next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Shot. And congratulations to Doug Hosey of Findlay High, well, of Findlay, who was playing for Findlay High School when this came to be. So he kind of had a little insider information to figure this out. The question was, in what year was the three-point line introduced in Ohio high school basketball? 1990, 1987, or 1985? And the answer, 1987. 1987, they introduced the three-point line in OHSAA basketball. And so Doug Hosey is the first of our final four contestants that will be eligible for those tickets to the entire state tournament next week on the boys' side at Ohio State University in Columbus. So keep listening. In this hour, going to give you another chance to get signed up, and we'll get us the second of our final four contestants on that. But let's get back to this. As we mentioned, March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. That's what it is. Here it is, Brain Injury Awareness Month. The usual talking points, and we were talking about this just a few days ago on the program, are about concussions in sports or traumatic brain injuries suffered by service members in combat. But one of, if not the, most common cause of traumatic brain injury in the general population is, are you ready for this? Car accidents, especially among children, which is why there is a movement afoot to do even more to protect kids while they are riding in cars. Noted trial attorney Howard Spiva is with us this morning. And first of all, Howard, what are the exact numbers here? How big of a concern is this really?
Well, actually, according to the Center for Disease Control, the number one cause of traumatic brain injuries for children under five is in car wrecks and in car safety seats. As you mentioned, I'm a trial lawyer, and I specialize in serious injuries for over 30 years, and I've just personally seen this tragedy of the lives that are forever altered, families destroyed, hundreds, maybe thousands of times. So we want to try to prevent brain injuries.
And I know that's one of the reasons why you are such an advocate for this. You are advocating that kids should be required to wear helmets while riding in cars. Helmets, really?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that mandate is the way to go. I think educating the parents. I mean, think about this. Every dangerous activity almost that a child participates in, skateboarding, bicycles, baseball, football, karate, you know, motorcycles and bull riders wear helmets. You know, when helmets were mandated for bicycles, the Pediatric Association and the Center for Disease Control say that brain injuries went down 75% and fatalities went down 85%. So, you know, kids no longer think anything about putting on a helmet before they get on a bicycle. So we say to parents, ask your child, hey, you want to be a race car driver or a karate girl?
but there is a difference between wearing a helmet when you are riding a bicycle or on a skateboard and riding in a car where you are enclosed by a motor vehicle. I mean, those are two different things. I can hear a lot of people saying, how is that really, really necessary, especially with all of the safety technology that we have today?
Well, studies show, and it's the Center for Disease Control, that the number one cause of traumatic brain injuries in children under five are in car wrecks. I mean, race car drivers wear helmets. Think about this. This is the three main causes of brain injuries in cars. One is just simply the whiplash motion and the brain being slammed against the skull in a wreck. The most common is a rear-end collision where the back of the seat breaks and either the headrest or the parent's head smashes in the forehead of the child. A frontal lobe injury. And then the third is they're T-boned and the kid hits their head on the frame of the car or the window. And so to me, it just seems to be the next logical step because it is dangerous and helmets do prevent injuries.
Are you talking about the same types of helmets as, for example, bicycle helmets, that kind of thing?
Yeah, just little plastic bicycle helmets. And like I said, they wear them in all these other activities. We just think that parents need to be educated.
Now, obviously, want to make sure that we qualify this. Wearing a helmet would not be a substitute for seat belts and car seats and all of the other things that, like we said, all of this other safety infrastructure that we have.
Absolutely. And it's just the next common sense step. I mean, if the parent's seat back breaks in a rear-end collision, you know, no airbag comes out of that and protects the child.
It is a good point. And this is not necessarily going to eliminate injury, you know, 100% prevention here.
No, I mean, you know, we would have to pack our kids in marshmallows to eliminate 100%.
Well,
nothing's 100%.
And I guess that's the question. As you said, we can wrap them in bubble wrap and it's not going to be 100%. And what do you say to skeptical parents who point that out, that there's no way to be 100% safe? So at some point, this seems a little excessive.
You know, my suggestion is let the parents learn the facts, let them see the numbers, let them see the prevention, and then they make the choice. I'm not saying, you know, give them a ticket or put them in jail.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would be tragic if, you know, and as a parent, you can understand if the back of your seat breaks and you, you know, the back of your head or your headrest smashes in your child's forehead and they get a, you know, a brain bleed or something like that, you can imagine the guilt that it carries. And you think, man, I could have stuck a little plastic helmet on them and it would have prevented that. And so all I'm trying to do is educate people. I specialize in traumatic brain injury, and my quest is to eliminate my ever getting, you know, another brain injury case of a child.
Let me ask you that with respect to the fact that you are a trial lawyer. So then the question becomes, now that we put this information out there, can parents get sued for, you know, negligence or some such if a child does get hurt in an accident? Do we open ourselves up for more litigation?
I don't think that knowing this, that a parent, I don't think a child would have an actionable claim against a parent. You know, most states anyway have immunity for family members, you know, suing each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that having been said, if a parent doesn't put a child in the child safety seat, you know, that could be the cause of a rise of an action. They could even charge the person with a traffic violation or criminally.
Yeah, those
but
are criminal.
I don't think that not wearing a helmet rises to the level of a civil suit, or as lawyers call it, a tort action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a fear that parents should have. But they should know what their options are, and then they can decide themselves.
The more you hear and the more you understand the statistics, the more sense it makes. You've got more information on your website, right?
Yeah, go to spivalaw.com, S-P-I-V-A, law.com, and up in the right-hand corner, if you click on the kid's lawyer, it will go right to headsandhelmet.com, and it will tell all about brain injuries and so forth. Also, if they, you know, if they want to call in, we have a bestseller book on Amazon that has a lot of information about brain injuries and explains how to prevent them. All the monies from that go to charity. Or if they want to give us a call, we'll just send them and tell us they heard on your show. We'll send them a copy of the book and, you know, gets them information out there so that they can make their own decisions.
Worth checking out if you have kids, grandkids. Something you might want to learn more about. Again, a noted trial attorney and best-selling author, former president of the Southern Trial Lawyers Association, Howard Spiva, with us this morning. Howard, thanks very much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I'm honored to be here. And as I always close my emails and everything, you make it a great day, man.
Absolutely. And I don't know. I still don't know that I'm convinced. I still think it's kind of weird to put a helmet on a kid when they're in the car. But he makes a compelling case, and I guess there is the point race car drivers do it. Of course, they're going about 3 or 4 times as fast as we are when we're on the road. Most of us. And the statistics don't lie. We've got it linked up on our webpage. You want to learn more, goodmornings.net. Maybe not so over the top. Maybe you're not convinced, but it's probably not quite so over the top once you hear the numbers. Another chance for you to register to win those state basketball tickets. Coming up next as Good Mornings continues. Didn't get a blizzard or anything like that. Certainly not anything like what they're getting up and down the East Coast. But, again, some safety reminders, because we haven't had a lot of this weather this winter. Remember, before you go out, because we're, 20 degrees right now? Only going to be up to around 25 or so at most today? It's going to be a very chilly day. And very cold tonight. If you are not in the best of health, if your heart is not as strong as it once was, you're probably not gonna, probably shouldn't be, not that you're not going to, but you shouldn't be out shoveling snow. Even this light, fluffy stuff that doesn't weigh a whole lot, just, you know, don't chance it. Have somebody else do it for you. Make sure that you wear appropriate clothing if you're going to be out of doors, especially for any length of time, regardless of what kind of shape you're in. You want to make sure that you don't freeze to death. Same thing goes in your car. Make sure that you you keep provisions in your car in case you get stuck. If you are stuck in your car, it's easy to forget that tailpipes can get clogged in a snowdrift. So you want to check periodically, if you're stranded waiting for help, that's not happening and that carbon monoxide isn't building up in the car. Very important. If you do have to drive, make sure that you do everything a little more slowly than you would normally do, because you don't want to end up in a ditch and stranded. You don't want to, like we said, end up in the back end of somebody else's car. And the best course of action, if you do find yourself slipping and sliding on slick roads, is to steer into the turn and take your foot off of the pedals. Then as your car slows down, it will gradually straighten out, at which point you can begin driving again. And that holds true even with traction control. Today's fancy cars, they have traction control, but traction control is not the be all and it can't, traction control cannot offset the laws of physics. So that doesn't mean you can drive like a crazy person. And if you are walking, walk like a penguin, they say. Short shuffles help you move without too much momentum and keep your feet close to the ground so they don't slide out from under you. So some safety tips, things to remember as you are out and about in this winter weather. Hockey! So, we've got tickets to the entire state basketball tournament, the OHSAA, on the boys' side, next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And time to get our second of our final 4 contestants to qualify for those tickets. And we're quizzing your basketball knowledge here. When was the most, here is your question. Last time we asked, last hour we asked about the 3-point line in high school basketball. When was the last time that Findlay High School appeared in the state basketball tournament? At the state level. They've done, I think, 7 times overall. When was the most recent year that the Trojans appeared in the state basketball tournament? Was it 1975, 1951, or 1948? 1975, 1951, or 1948? When was the last time the Findlay High School Trojans appeared in the state tournaments? If you think you know, you can give me a call during the break here, 419-425-1346, 888-458-1FIN. And if you can come up with the correct answer, we will add your name in. You will be the second of our final four contestants for these tickets to the entire state tournament next week from the OHSAA. You give me a call right now to get entered. News is next.
WFIN. Home of the Blanchard Valley Conference.
Right point to Gazarek from the elbow, and Tier drops it in. Pass stolen inside by Noggle, and back the other way. Noggle, little fancy footwork, drive to the basket and scores.
North Baltimore battles Mansfield St. Pete's in the Division IV regional semifinals from BG Tuesday night at 6.
This is John Klepp, head coach of the North Baltimore Tigers. Tune in live on WFIN and online at WFIN.com.
Best of luck to the North Baltimore Tigers going after it again tonight. And by the way, as we mentioned, we do have tickets to the entire state high school basketball tournament, which is next week in Columbus for the boys. All 12 games, all of the semifinals and all of the finals, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This is a nice package, nice prize package. Here are tickets to all of those games and a parking pass, so you get, you know, like a VIP, get right there into the shot for each game. We're going to give that away this week. We're still looking for our second of our final four contestants here. I was kind of surprised we didn't get a winner during the news break. So we'll reopen the phone lines. I'll give you the question again, and you can think about this. What was the last year, the most recent year, that Findlay High School made the state tournament? I think it's 7 times in all that they've been to state. The most recent visit to the state tournament was in 1975, 1951, or 1948. Don't call just yet. We'll reopen the phone lines here in just a bit. I give you that clue to have you think about it here. While we talk with Cindy Briegel, Gliding Stars of Findlay, holding their annual adaptive ice show coming up this weekend, and they have gone country. Cindy, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you in, because Gliding Star is such a neat group. Talk a little bit about, before we get to the details of the show, which is Sunday, by the way.
Sunday.
Talk a little bit about the history of Gliding Stars.
Yeah. Gliding Stars came about back in November of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
University professor, Dr. Jean Folkerth, saw a need for an adaptive ice skating program. So she researched, found this program on the web. It was out of Buffalo, New York. Brought the founder of the program here to Findlay to do an exhibition skate.
Neat.
And my daughter was one of those four skaters. And once I saw what they were able to do with her developmental deficits and get her on the ice and what she was able to accomplish, I was all in.
Yeah.
And from that, we have grown now. This is our 16th year. We have families that come from 5 different counties mm-hmm. around the surrounding area.
Yeah, because there aren't a whole lot of these programs in the state.
Right.
Although the Findlay program has served as the inspiration. I guess there's one.
There's 2 in Ohio, which
very
is
cool.
There's one in Toledo, which mm-hmm. was parents coming from Toledo to be in our program, and they've start one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been in existence since 2008. And then there's one that just started in Chagrin Falls.
Very cool.
Two University of Findlay graduates.
Wow.
In that area that had volunteered with us.
So what started here has started to branch out, through the state. Now, was it always, in the works to do an ice show?
Yeah, that's really the premise of the mission statement.
Okay.
You know, it is to get individuals with disabilities on the ice with the adaptive equipment,
mm-hmm.
but yet to let them showcase their talents at an ice show in front of an audience.
Yeah, because people are familiar with Ice Classics, the Silver Blades, mm-hmm. which has gone on for many, many years. And this is sort of the extension of that. This is similar to that.
Similar
really.
Premise, yeah. And if you think about it, too, people who do have developmental disabilities do not get to be on a stage or in front of an audience much. So it's really a venue that they get to experience, they get to hear applause, and you can see it in the star's face when they're in front of that crowd. And it just, it boosts self-esteem.
Sure, you know? Absolutely. And as you mentioned, I mean, the benefits are wide-ranging. I mean, it's not just about the skating. I mean, that's the avenue, but it's not really
right.
The point.
Oh, no. Yeah. There is friendships made, socialization between the star and their volunteer. Mm-hmm. A lot of these volunteers become really good friends with the family. They might even be hired as a babysitter, you know? I mean, I've seen the gamut.
Yeah. And that's a good point, too, because all of the skaters have at least one assistant, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Normally, most of it's one-on-one. There's a couple of them that will have two assistants.
Depending on the situation. And these are all types of adaptive skaters.
Correct. We have, you know, for example, we have one of the girls is doing a solo this year. Is a very proficient skater. You know, she's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have individuals that can't even bear weight, so we use specialized walkers to get them.
So you have a wide variety of disabilities that are being overcome here, whether we're talking about developmental disabilities or physical disabilities, sometimes both.
Or just a learning disability. Right. And probably within... Like everything right now, we're seeing a large group of skaters that are in the autism spectrum, you know, and that's more the sensory issues. But once they can overcome the sensory issue of having a tight skate on your foot, you know, they're normally pretty good skaters, and they like that movement. Yeah.
That is so cool. Now, how many skaters will be involved this weekend?
Well, we had 58 stars this year.
Wow.
And we've got around 115 volunteers on ice. Not to mention we have a core of volunteers that are off ice, too. And, so this is a
large group. Undertaking. Yeah. Big undertaking. And, the event, the Gliding Stars, ice show is Sunday at the Cube, as we mentioned. Give us all the details here.
Correct. Yeah. This Sunday at 2:30, the doors will open at 1:30. Tickets pre-sale are $8 for adults. And then day of show will be $10 at the door. Children under 10 years of age is $5. Tickets can be purchased at Trends on Main or at Integrity Salon, 119 West Sandusky Street. And or you could come out to the Cube this Friday when we are skating between 4:30 and 6:30 at the front counter and purchase your tickets. We also have baskets that we're raffling off day of the show.
Very cool.
We've got 12 baskets ranging from $500 to $850.
Wow.
So it's
some nice prizes.
Nice prizes. Yeah.
And all of the proceeds will then go back into the program to help. Because I would imagine this is not an inexpensive venture.
No, it's not. It typically costs around $1,400 to $1,500 to put one star on the ice.
Hmm.
And that's including equipment, your insurance, our fees we pay to the national chapter, and, of course, ice time. That's our biggest expense.
Yeah, that is so it is such a wonderful program, and it does so much good. This is obviously the big fundraiser, the big event. So whether you go to support the kids in their ongoing program or just to be there, like you said, because these kids are on the stage, in the spotlight, they're hearing the applause, and there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, I think going to our ice show, you take away something, you know, and you might shed a tear or two, but they're happy tears, and the sense of pride that you see on our star's face.
That is fabulous. Again, Cindy Briegel with us. Gone Country is the theme for the Gliding Stars Ice Show coming up this Sunday, and we've got more information on our webpage. You can check that out at goodmornings.net. Cindy, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Back to her roots, she's gone country.
We're going to reopen the phone lines for our high school basketball question. When was the last time that Findlay High School appeared in the state high school basketball tournament? The most recent appearance by the Trojans, 1975, 1951, 1948. We'll get our second of our final four qualifiers during the break here. You give me a call right now to get ready.
Writing songs, speaking out against wealth and privilege.
There we go. We got a winner. This turned out to be a little tougher than I expected. Congratulations, Sean McDaniel of Findlay was the came up with the correct answer. When was the last time the Findlay Trojans appeared in the state high school basketball tournament? 1975, 1951, or 1948? The answer, 1948. 1948 is the answer we were looking for. So, and they won it all that year, I believe. So, that's the thing. If you're going to go, you may as well win it all, right? So, Sean, the second of our final four contestants eligible for that prize package of tickets to all the games in the state tournament next weekend. So tomorrow we'll get our second two of our final four contestants, and then we'll whittle it down in the bracket from there. All right. Once again, Findlay remains on a two-hour delay. One addition to our closings list, Ada has now closed. The complete list of delays and closings can be found on our webpage at WFIN.com or goodmornings.net. So you can check that out online, courtesy of Gene Stevens Honda, the McDonald's restaurants of Findlay and Blanchard Valley Health Systems. So you're up to speed on that. Let's get to the weather here. The Storm Track 11 forecast from WFIN or from WTOL 11 meteorologist Chris Vickers calling for a few snow showers. Chilly and windy today with a high in the middle 20s. Tonight clearing, very cold, and a low down around 10 degrees. And then tomorrow, partly sunny but remaining cold, mid to upper 20s for a high. So, yeah. Right now, it is 20 degrees, and again, if you are traveling today, it is going to be slow going at the airports around the country thanks to the weather in the east. Let's find out what's going on around the rest of the country.
Travel will grind to a near stop in portions of the northeast. March records may fall for snowfall as some areas from Boston to Washington, D.C., including New York, Philadelphia, Newark, Trenton, Hartford, Connecticut, Providence, Rhode Island, could see more than a foot of snow. Gusty winds will complicate matters, too. Now, in the middle of the country, it's only in the 20s and 30s, Iowa down through Missouri, light snow flying in the Chicago area, and only in the 20s for Minneapolis. Dry weather again in the southwest, some rainfall across Washington State, northern Idaho, northwestern sections of Montana, and portions of coastal Oregon. Deep south, warm, dry, Corpus Christi to New Orleans, 60s and 70s. Southeast will be in the 70s as well, Miami up to 83. I'm Mike Ellis.
Miami is the place to be. Southern California getting close to 100 degrees, too. That's going to be nice. So there's the weather around the country. Now you're up to speed. We got to get out of here. Thanks to all of our guests for being with us this morning. Tomorrow, how to plan a long overdue getaway to kickstart the warm weather season. We're going to think spring.
Is it here yet? Is it here yet?
Until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
Good Mornings with Chris Oaks on 1330 WFIN, Findlay's News, Sports, and Weather Authority.